John, chapter 21. Jesus reinstates Peter. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Jesus said again, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumour spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that this testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that had been written.
Hi, Noswaitha. Good evening. My name is Joel and I'm the pastor of Elim Church in Aberystwyth. What a privilege to have the opportunity to share with you as you continue exploring these stories about the risen Jesus from John's Gospel. You know, whenever I read this passage from John 21 about Jesus asking Peter three times if he loves him, I can't help but think about a particular song. I do think the Beatles had a point, that they were right to say that all you need is love. However, I would suggest that their understanding or experience of love was somewhat incomplete. We read from the Apostle John's account of Peter's encounter with Jesus, and elsewhere in one of his letters that he wrote to the churches, he said this, that God is love. See, there are many attributes of God that are described throughout the Bible, things that he does like create or heal. And there are aspects of his character, things like holiness, justice, faithfulness or mercy. But this is different. We're not just told that God loves, we are told that elsewhere, but we're not just told that in this instance. We're not just told that God is loving or acts in a loving way. We are told that God actually is love, that he is defined by his character and nature as love. So when I think of that song, "All You Need Is Love," the truth I consider to be contained in that is that all you need is God, and that truly, in its purest understanding, God is all you need. When I got the message a few weeks ago asking me to speak on this passage, amazingly, at that exact moment, I was in the middle of watching a video created by Di Woolridge and the Bible Society, which is a dramatized spoken word of this very passage from the perspective of Simon Peter. I'm not going to show you the whole video, but maybe this snippet might encourage you to go and watch the rest later.
"Anyone for breakfast?" he said. So there we were, stuffing our faces with fish sarnies, just staring at him. We knew it was him, but no one dared ask. After breakfast, he asked me if I loved him 3 times. Yes, Lord, I said, as it brought to mind the 3 times I flat out denied him. Look after my sheep, he said. You got it, Lord, I said. He had, you know, done the impossible, risen.
I love how real this clip makes this encounter. Sometimes we can read scripture through filtered lenses, almost like it's in black and white or from another world, like it didn't really happen. But these stories are absolutely real. They happened in real life to a real Jesus, with a real Peter, around a real fire. And between his resurrection and the ascension, Jesus is busy putting some vital building blocks in place for the future of humanity and for the world. Foundations for his church, his people, his body, the family of which we can be a part today. And this is quite literally what is happening here. Because towards the start of John's Gospel, we read how a disciple named Simon gets a name change. He has an encounter with Jesus. He has a revelation of who he is. And because he says, "You are the Messiah," Jesus gives him a name change. And he says, "You will be called Peter," or Cephas, which is literally translated as rock. That's what it means. So here we see a rocky disciple towards the end of John's Gospel being restored, instructed and commissioned. This being after quite some drama that has unfolded in the preceding days. Is it a coincidence that Peter is asked 3 times by Jesus, "Do you love me?" We read in verse 9 that the scene for this encounter is around a coal fire. Just 3 chapters earlier, we see that Peter has denied even knowing Jesus 3 times, just as Jesus told him would happen. Simon Peter, who had earlier been told by Jesus he was this rock and that he would play an instrumental part in the building of God's church, in the moment of the Messiah's greatest pain and greatest need, he fails dramatically. I want to encourage you today that no matter how much you may feel you have failed God or fallen short of his standards or expectations, his heart is always to restore, to heal, to forgive. And he wants to bring you to a place of fulfillment in him and fulfillment for him in terms of his plans and his destiny for you. In our passage, he gently gives Peter the opportunity 3 times to affirm his love for him. I find it quite hilarious though, really, in a way, because Peter still doesn't seem to quite get it. In fact, he gets annoyed and he seems to get hurt. I mean, this kind of attitude seems to be a little bit of a pattern for this fiery Jesus follower that we know as Simon Peter. He ends up getting annoyed and he says to Jesus, and I paraphrase, but he says it after the 3rd time, he says, "For goodness sake, Jesus, yes, you know that I love you." And the scripture actually tells us that he was even hurt by the question. But if you actually think about it, it's quite beautiful. Jesus gives him this opportunity 3 times to say, "I love you," just like he had 3 times denied even knowing him. Jesus gently gives him that opportunity to affirm his love for him. And he still just seems to not get it. But I would speculate that in the years that followed, as Peter looked back upon this moment around the fire with Jesus, I would speculate that he looked back with a smile on his face and a warmth in his heart. Of course, I can only guess at this. But I reckon that at some stage down the line, that the penny dropped and he realized what it was that Jesus was doing for him, giving him the opportunity to balance the emotional books. Having denied him 3 times, he now affirms his love for him 3 times. So, do you know the only other place in John's Gospel where the scene is set around a charcoal fire and that's how it's described? Yep, you guessed it. John 18 and verse 18, where Peter denies Christ. Is that a coincidence? I don't think so. So why was Jesus asking Peter this specific question? Do you love me? Probably the most fundamental question that we can ever address. Jesus elsewhere has outlined his top priorities in terms of how we should live. It actually happened during an attempted coup by the Pharisees. They were wanting to trick him and make him look silly, or they basically were asking him a question about what were the most important law was in terms of all of God's laws, so that he could rank one above another and it would look foolish and put Jesus in a difficult position. So they were trying to catch him out, but Jesus' response was absolutely amazing. It was priceless and ageless. And what he did was he said that all of the law and the prophets were summed up in two simple instructions. And though they may be simple, these are not easy to live out in the fullness of what they mean. But the simple instructions are this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And then he says the second commandment is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah, to put it in shortened format, I would describe Jesus' top two instructions as this: love God and love people. Jesus says these two things are almost like the same thing. Loving people is the same as loving God. Isn't that exactly what he says to Simon Peter? Loving God and loving people are inextricably linked. They're inseparable from each other. So he says, Simon Peter, do you love me? Yes, comes the reply. Therefore, said Jesus, feed my lambs. And the second time, feed my sheep. And then the third time, care for the people around you. Jesus gives an instruction which is based on the fact that Simon Peter claims to love him. By meeting the needs of those around us, by living out God's nature of love and his heart towards the people in our lives, we are expressing our love to God. Love has to be accompanied by action. Sometimes we're fooled, aren't we, by the Hollywood pictures of love or the romantic ideas that love is all about a feeling. There's nothing wrong with feeling love, but love just as a feeling doesn't cut the mustard when it comes to it. We have to be love with action. There has to be hands and feet and sacrifice and challenge and making choices that come with what it means to be people who love. Jesus, who described himself as the good shepherd, who displayed his love by laying down his life for us, instructs Peter to express his love through action too, by caring for and feeding those in need. Something interesting gets lost in our English and Welsh translations of this passage. I'm no Greek scholar, but I do understand that the words for love in Greek are numerous, and we only translate them into one word, love. With the help of an interlinear Bible and BibleHub.com, I can get a little bit of an idea of what happens here. The first two times, we know that Jesus uses the word agapas, which comes from agape. And then the third time, he uses the word philia. And each time, Peter responds with the word philia. Now, there are different theories and ideas about why these different terms would have been used. But it's really clear in terms of Simon Peter that it's three times it's love that he has been asked about. And all I want to say is that God's love and the love that Jesus asks of us and was asking of Simon Peter is all encompassing. It's both and kinds of love. He desires love from us that encompasses both the kind of affection and the brotherly love that Filio talks about, as well as the sacrifice and that of the very best shepherd, the good shepherd himself showed for us that agape, unconditional, sacrificial love. And Jesus finishes his instruction here in John 21 in terms of this conversation with Simon Peter by saying this: follow me. What he had said to him at the very beginning of his discipleship journey. When Simon Peter was called by Jesus to leave his fishing boat and to become a disciple, Jesus said to him, I will make you a fisher of men. But now we see, having walked so closely with Jesus, having learned his character, having known him inside out, that not only is Simon Peter become a fisher of men, but Jesus is turning him into a pastor or a shepherd of people. Simon Peter receives a calling which is not just about catching, but is also about caring. So just at this point, you think surely Simon Peter has got the message now. He's been asked three times, do you love me? He's responded. He has affirmed his love for Jesus. But what does he do then? Well, he starts playing that really dangerous game that we never really win at, and that is the comparing game. He looks at John, and isn't it just like John who's writing this account to point this fact out? In fact, I wonder if you can imagine how Peter might have responded when he saw John's self-description, his self-entitled role in this story as the disciple whom Jesus loved. I reckon Simon Peter's like, yes, I'm sure you count yourself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. But you do know he loved me as well, and I love him as I have affirmed in this story. Anyway, let's not play the comparing game. And maybe I'm just having a little bit of a laugh at speculating at that side of the story. But the truth is, Simon Peter earlier, as we said, had a very powerful revelation of who Jesus is. You are the Messiah. This is what he needed to know. But perhaps here we are given an insight into another revelation that is just as important for you and I to have today. And that is that we are loved. Jesus has shown God's kind of love through his perfect and painful sacrifice, his blood shed upon the cross. There is no greater love ever been displayed than this. Our sin, our shame, our pain, they are dealt with in his name because his love was put into action, because the best shepherd of all laid down his life for his sheep. And this revelation, I don't believe, was just for John. I believe it is for you as well today. The disciple whom Jesus loves is you. The disciple whom Jesus loves is Simon Peter. The disciple whom Jesus loves is me. Now, John doesn't call himself the disciple who loved Jesus better than anyone else. He had simply had a revelation, and he had the root of his identity in the love that Jesus had for him. And in so doing, he perhaps continues that theme of love that Jesus is wanting to teach and reveal to us through this passage. We too need to find our identity in his love, in who he is, and in who he says we are. Now, in light of understanding this story in the context of looking at the risen Christ, as you've been doing over recent weeks, let us recognize this. The phrase Jesus lives can be equivalent to and tantamount to a phrase Jesus loves. Love is the very nature of God, and now we, because of his resurrection, share in his nature and are part of his body, living out that love in the world today to express his love to one another. And then John finishes this gospel by saying that all the books in the world couldn't contain the amazing things that Jesus had done. And he was right. And you know what? As I reflect on that, I think even more so now, because Jesus is still at work. Jesus is still moving in our world. Jesus is still at work in the lives of his people all around the world. And so I think even more so now, because those books are still being written. You and I are adding to that book of what Jesus is doing in the world. Imagine the bookcases that would be needed to tell the stories of all that Jesus has done through and in his people, his body, through the ages. So here we are in 2021 with unprecedented opportunity to tell such stories. How the apostles would have loved to have had the internet to share the gospel, to partner with Jesus in building his church. And what about us today? What about you? If the risen Jesus were sat across the fire, just last week we managed to get our chimenea working in the garden and we had a nice roaring fire. Now just imagine you were sat with us there in the garden and sitting around that fire with Jesus, and Jesus was to look at you in the eye and say, "Do you love me?" What would be your response? So I'd like to pray now. And if you feel like you've let God down, then you are in great company. Simon Peter in this story is being restored, and God wants to restore you. I pray for you, if that is you, that you would be forgiven, that you would be loved, and that you would continue to grow in learning to love as God has loved you. And now some other people, if you feel like you need to fall in love with Jesus afresh, or maybe even for the first time ever today, then I want to pray for you too. May you see and more fully understand the truly immeasurable depth, height, and width of the love of God that is yours in Christ Jesus. And may you walk in that love and express it to the world in which you live. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, the world needs the hope of Jesus' resurrection now as much as ever before. Let's choose to love, love, love. Let us love God. Let us allow God to reveal his love to us in greater measure. And let us learn to love one another. I'm going to close with the words of Simon Peter himself in a letter that he wrote to the Jesus followers who were exiled and spread across many nations in that first century. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 3, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." God bless you. Thanks for having me. Love, love, love.